This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Welcome to the Christmas Countdown Show! My name is Eric Peterson, as always, and I'm here with my good buddy, Danny Jordan.
As always.
We have John here. John Ewing. I almost asked him what his last name was again. John Ewing on our ATEM. And then we got Chris Sisley live from Brooklyn. Thank you so much for tuning in and checking us out.
Yes.
This is episode 10 of season 3. So we are officially at the halfway mark of our third season.
Isn't that wild? Kind of crazy. I feel like we just started. And now we're halfway there.
It feels...
You're like, I'm ready to be done.
No, but I feel like we feel a good chunk into the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we did travel to Memphis.
And yeah.
You've started rehearsals for your show, yeah. And there's just so much. I guess so much has happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just wild to me to think that we're already at the halfway point.
I know.
It's wild.
It is pretty crazy. But we are giving you 20 full episodes for this season.
We're very generous.
We're very, very generous. Plus the bonus episodes if they join the Patreon.
That's... What, 30 total?
Yeah, that's a lot of
that's
Christmas
a
content.
Lot of content. That's like over 30 hours. That's probably like 40, like your whole work week.
Yeah.
I would love for someone to show up at the office and
season one,
pretend that they're working, but all they did from beginning to end was just binge our show.
That'd be pretty
impressive.
What
are you doing there, Steve? Working.
Working. Counting down favorite Christmas desserts. Maybe they're on this episode
Maybe
right
they
now.
Are, yeah.
Which is our top 10 holiday desserts, 5 through 1. So these are the best of the best.
Yes.
So we're very excited to count those down today. We have another game from Chris Sisley, which
Love
we're very
games.
Excited about. We have some listener feedback.
Yeah, we've been getting emails.
Reviews, but feedback, we'll call this one.
Yeah.
What else do we got to do today?
We're going to do some Christmas news.
Yeah,
you know, we have it. I don't think we shared any news on the last one.
True. But, I have a couple memes and things.
You got some memes and things. Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff
to
get to. But I was thinking, you know, this is a desserts episode and we're talking a lot about food, right?
Yeah.
Now, what pairs great with food?
Drinks.
A great beverage. Yeah. And not just any beverage, but like a holiday vibey sort of beverage. So our friends at Hallmark Channel, they must have known this was happening because they sent off to us some delicious teas. You know, they have this amazing partnership with Republic of Tea, and they do this holiday limited edition collection. What I love about these, I think we chatted about them last year, is they look like little like pog containers.
They do.
These little metal tins. So I'll let so people can hear sort of what's happening out there. Is there's two different containers. One is the cardamom cinnamon. The other is gingerbread cookie.
What do you think cardamom means?
I think it's a type of spice.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, right?
Yes, it is definitely a spice.
Okay.
I feel like John's our like resident food guy.
Yeah.
Whenever we say something about food, like we were
he's
talking
ready.
About Ethiopian food, he's like, oh, I'll take that one, actually. Just slides right in there. But I love the imagery on these cans. Like, it feels so incredibly...
Christmassy.
Cozy.
Yeah.
Did you notice that on this mug, there's like a glove around the mug?
Yeah, there's like the... The sort
like
of cable knit,
mitten
around the mug, which is pretty cool.
I love it.
I wonder if that's a all the time thing or if that was added.
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because it doesn't seem to go over the handle.
That's, yeah.
So maybe it was made like that. Pretty cool.
I don't know.
Which one are you going to try?
I think, you know, in our last episode,
I talked about
cinnamon and cinnamon memories.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to go cardamom.
Okay.
Cinnamon.
I'll do the gingerbread cookie.
Okay. So I'm going to slide this one back here and I'll just pop the top.
Now, how many pods are you going to throw in there? One, two?
You know, I usually like to go double pod or double bag because I like a nice flavorful tea. Now, did you take a sniff of yours? Take a little whiff of this real quick.
Ooh, that is good. That is very gingerbready.
Can I? Here, you sniff mine and I'll sniff yours.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That one's good too. That
Doesn't
was strong.
It just feel like the holidays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to drop two little pods. And don't these look like little pogs too?
They do.
They really do. So I'm going to drop two in mine. I even brought us little clear mugs so everyone could see the different hues.
All right. And you got some hot water.
I have some hot water that I brewed right before we came in here. We've never attempted to do this before on the show, is pour hot water, boiling
That's
hot
good.
Water.
That's good.
Is that good? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do mine as well. I'll do it for the camera.
What I don't
here.
Have is like a steeper.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great question about tea, right? Is oftentimes, you know, on the back of the container, the box, the vessel, the pod container, whatever, it'll say steep for 6 minutes or whatever it is.
Right.
I always just assumed that meant just let it be in the hot water for that amount of time before
you're
you
supposed to be poking at it.
Are you?
That's what I
is that what steeping is? Chris. Is anyone resident foodie, John?
John, Young? I think you just leave it alone. steeping is just letting it soak at hot water and
okay,
all that flavor is going to come out no matter what you do.
Yeah,
I can
see it's already starting to cascade down, changing from
colors,
my little pods here.
But I like to poke it.
Do you?
Poke it a bunch, but I don't have a spoon or anything.
Whenever I see the word steeping on the back of like a tea box or whatever, I always think of open the doors and see all the, like, here's the church, here's the steeple.
Steeple.
Open the door, see all the people. That's, someone needs to come up with like a rhymy version.
Steeping? Yeah. That's all it is.
See all the steeple?
Yeah. They're steeple.
It's people steeping.
People steeping.
But yeah, I'm going to take a little, what is happening? Ooh, look how colorful yours is.
That's really good. It's
is that
nice
like
amber?
It's like reddish?
Yeah, there's
orange.
A little bit of a.
It definitely hold it up to the light like that. Yeah, we can see
it. Definitely feels
when,
like fall.
Right there.
Mine's a lighter hue over here on the cardamom cinnamon side of things.
I can tell you right now, though, the temperature of this, I'll drink this when I'm on my number one selection.
Is
of
it
the
too
top
hot
10.
For you?
Oh, yeah.
It does require boiling water. Yeah. But we tried these last year, and
it smells delicious.
Smells delicious. I'm going to take a sip because I like to live on the wild side.
All right,
here we go. This is the cardamom cinnamon. Ooh, that is very cinnamony. I love that.
That'd be good. This gingerbread is very good. I got the tiniest little dot of liquid onto my
of the boiling
tongue
temp.
And lips, and it was so hot, but still very good.
Yeah. No, I love it. This is going to be great to sip on all throughout the episode.
Good for the voce.
Oh, yeah, for the voce. And if you're looking for something to sip on all throughout the holiday season, make sure you check out these Countdown to Christmas, Hallmark Channel, Republic of Tea flavors. They're so incredible. You know, go to Hallmark.com.
Republicoftea.com.
Republicoftea.com and stock up on these because they really are the perfect complement, I think, to the holiday season. We talk about, like, the weather changing, the smells in the air, and tastes are a huge part of that.
You know what they'd be great for? Mm. Teacher gifts.
Oh my gosh.
It's like just the right kind of size and price point to, like, if you're trying to think of what are you going to give your kid's teacher, nice little set of Republic of Tea.
Oh, dude, that's brilliant.
Channel.
And I feel like it's not something that you see a lot,
because
these are limited edition sort of situations. Is like, if you want your gift to stand out, your teacher gift this holiday season, make sure you grab that. And if you're looking for the perfect thing to pair with your tea, you're definitely going to want to make sure to check out Countdown to Christmas on Hallmark Channel. The movie coming out this weekend is Merry Scottish Christmas, and we got a little sneak peek at it. And let me tell you, for someone who loves Scotland, like, I've talked about it ad nauseum with you, I love it. You know, just getting to see, you know, the landscape of Scotland and, you know, the bagpipes and all the things. There's castles in this one. Lacey Chabert, Scott Wolf. You've got this party of five, sort of like mini reunion. They play a brother and a sister, and it's really, really fun to sort of see this whole thing unfolding with, you know, Scotland as the backdrop for it. So pour yourself a little Republic of Tea and cozy up with a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie this weekend.
That sounds pretty good to
Doesn't
me.
Sound nice?
I like that.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be doing this weekend.
Mm. All right. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. Should we go to our listener feedback?
Let's do
our
it.
Our emails?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. I'm going to start us off here. This first email comes from James, and it looks like he's from the UK. So
cool.
Let's see what he has to say. Hi, Christmas Countdown team. I hope you're all keeping well and enjoying the change in the seasons. I wanted to reach out and say a quick thank you for the podcast. As someone who was always made fun of for being a Christmas all year round kind of lad, I'm very grateful to have found your podcast to help me feel less alone in my love for the holidays. Mm. I grew up in Ireland and now live in London, UK. So your pod has given me lots of insight into some traditions that we don't have over here. Things like eggnog or the prevalence of the Christmas TV special or crooner era Christmas music. That surprises me. I would think that, like, you know, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra,
that would just
stuff
be an everywhere
would still
thing.
Be over there. But yeah. He's saying that it's not as big over there. Okay. As a thank you, I wanted to give you a bit of a curated list of Christmas songs that are massive on this side of the pond.
Oh, wow.
Just in case you were curious to see some of the differences. Forgive me if these were popular in the US as well. Last Christmas, wham. I'm trying to pull ones that I would class as quintessentially British or Irish. Mm. There's a quick honorable mention for Mike Oldfield In Dulce Jubilo.
Really?
A brilliant modern take on the carol Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Wow. Okay.
We won't go through all of these. And James did a very good job of giving us his full top 10 list with explanations.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you the list of songs at the very least.
Okay.
Number 10, he has Christmas Tree, Dustin the Turkey.
Whoa.
Okay, Dustin the Turkey, is that, what do we think? Christmas Tree is the name of the song?
And then I think Dustin the Turkey is the artist.
Okay, Dustin what the Turkey. What a name. Let's read this one. It says, a weird one to start, a 90s children character from Ireland, Dustin the Turkey, I got it now, okay. Yep. Dustin was always seen as the character for kids from inner city Dublin kids to relate to. They surely went too far by making him a character who is illegally cutting down trees to sell. The song, however, was a hit in Ireland, particularly for me as a kid who would occasionally get myself into some trouble with my parents. Lovely use of a kid's character using a kid's choir in the final chorus. Okay.
That's fun.
Number 9, Do They Know It's Christmas from Band-Aid. Great song.
So good.
Number 8, Shakin' Stevens with Merry Christmas, Everyone. Ooh, I like that. If there was ever an award for the most jingle bells used in a pop single, he would be the winner. Okay. Wow. I want to check that one out.
Okay.
Elton John, Step Into Christmas.
It's a great one.
Great one. The Darkness, Don't Let the Bells End.
Whoa.
What? I love The Darkness. Do you know who The Darkness are?
I have no clue who The Darkness is. Oh, yeah.
They Whoa. Do, like, this really, like, they're almost a comedy band. They do, like, glam 80s rock metal,
yeah,
but nowadays, and they really lean into it. Okay. Very, very fun. We'll definitely have to check that one out. Don't Let the Bells End.
Yeah.
And number 5, they've got Wizards, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
That one doesn't get played enough, I don't think.
That is a great one.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about that one just in the bonus?
I wish it could be Christmas every day. I think you were singing it when you walked in this morning.
Not this morning, but maybe
recently. Yeah.
Recently we did. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Number 4, Merry Christmas, Everybody. That doesn't have an artist. It's the definitive Christmas in England song, a more grown-up excitement than Wizard, but no less infectious.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, he included links, so I'll have to check.
Yeah, yeah. Number 3, Jonah Louie's Stop the Calvary. Don't know that. Number 2, Driving Home for Christmas. Got to check that one out. And number 1, very smart, The Pogues, Fairy Tale of New York, which I am a big, big fan of.
Right.
James, this is a great list. I think what we should do is maybe make this a Spotify list under our page, and we'll put the link. We'll see. We'll try to figure out a way to put all these descriptions that James has so brilliantly written out for us, describing each song.
We'll see what we can do. And if there's anyone else out there in the UK, you know, who has some other songs that they want to add to the mix that are like iconic UK holiday songs.
Or wherever you're from.
Yeah, wherever you're from, maybe we put together like an international Christmas songs playlist.
That'd be great.
That should be a good countdown.
Idea. Yeah.
Our favorite international Christmas
songs. Another way
songs.
To talk about music.
That's what we do. That was so great. Thank you, James, Beckenham, Southeast London is where James is from. All right. So speaking of people who've reached out via email, we got another one that just came through actually, I think it was about an hour before we started recording today.
Okay.
And this one's coming to us from Mexico.
Okay.
So we got England checking in.
Feliz Navidad.
This is from Antonio Sotomayor. And Antonio says, hello, Danny and Eric. I don't know where to share this, but I think an email is the right place.
Cool.
I'm a Mexican fan of yours that was very stubborn to change the date when the season starts. But since I found your podcast on autumn of last year, that changed. My love for Christmas is getting sooner than ever before because you convinced me to never hide your cheeriest and merriest side. I live at the border with Texas, so I listen to American radio stations, and every year a local station shifts to Christmas music 24/7. That used to be the sign to put out the decorations, but when you guys released the first episode of the third season, that became my most important sign that the holidays are coming.
The official start of Christmas.
We are the official start. Christmas in my family was always very important, but since the pandemic, it became something truly special. I almost lost my father to COVID, and I know how fortunate I am because not many people had that recovery. That's why I always try to make Christmas special for my family because I don't know which one might be the last. Your podcast has helped a lot for me to express my gratitude for my family, and I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all. P.S. Number 1, I know you guys like fun facts about the holidays. Did you know that until a few years ago, my country was very divided on who brings the presents on Christmas? The North, where I'm from, was all about Santa Claus, and the Center and South were all about baby Jesus and the three wise men. Didn't know that. P.S. Number 2, It's shocking to me that you have never talked about She and Him's Christmas album.
It's a great one.
Yeah, it's the band from Joey Deschanel, who we know obviously from Elf, and she's released two Christmas albums that Antonio can't recommend enough. Yes.
She and Him, do you know that band?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, they're so good, and their Christmas albums are very, very good. She has a great version of What Are You Doing New Year's? Yeah, I think that is with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, really?
That's definitely a YouTube video of them singing it, okay. But I think she also has a solo version on her She and Him record.
Sounds good. Well, if you want to send us an email, wherever you're listening in the world, please do so. We are kringle@christmascountdownshow.com, or you can DM us on Instagram. We are at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, Threads. We're also at Xmas Pod on the X, and you can watch full episodes on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/countdownnetwork.
Yes. And Danny, speaking of the official start of Christmas.
Yeah.
I have brought out all of the Christmas decorations. It has happened. Yes. My outdoor, I've not done the outside yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure when. I probably will wait till after Thanksgiving.
What?
To do the outside.
I'm shooketh.
The inside is almost fully done. We have two trees up.
Okay. Both fake.
Both of our fake trees.
Or artificial.
And then we'll get a third real tree at some point. Okay. We have my wife's full village has been put out.
That's right. She's super into that.
She's got the villages out. We've got our whole Santa corner, which I've talked about is my favorite, one of my favorite parts of our decorations.
Yeah.
We just have collected these, like, you know, foot tall or 8-inch tall Santas over the years. So we have that going. We have a Christmas tree in the kitchen this year, which I think is really fun.
That is fun.
And so we have a few more indoor decorations to do because we felt we're both, you know, I'm going to be starting rehearsals for, what show am I doing?
Christmas Story.
Yeah. The musical. very soon, tomorrow. And so I'm going to be very busy. My wife is producing two shows right now as well. So, like, it's going to be super, super busy. And so we were like, let's get this stuff up as soon as we can to enjoy it because our moments at home are going to be so few and far between this season.
Right.
We want to have it up as long as we can.
I celebrate that. Yeah, yeah. Now, with your wife's little village, does she get to like add? Does she like to add a little?
Yeah. And usually each year I try to get her one new building.
And does she pick it out or is it like a surprise thing from you?
I usually pick it out.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, I guess I could, I mean, it's her village, you know, could give her, you know, hey, is there one that you want this year? Last year I gave her one that was really cute. It was a pizza shop that said Sophia's.
Oh.
And my daughter's name is Sophie. So like, that was cool. Like it just added this little Sophia's pizza shop.
That's so cool.
So I try to find something that has some kind of, you know, connection to her. You know, she has like an opera house and a theater and stuff like that. So
dude.
But yeah, I'm not sure what I'm gonna get her this year.
You know what we need to find is like a little like radio studio.
Ooh, that would be good.
And then sitting inside of it,
two little podcast hosts.
It's podcast hosts with like our logo inside.
That's
pretty Christmas Countdown Show.
I like that. That's
pretty cool. I don't know where you would get that, but I'm sure
we should talk to the Rothko guy. Say, I know you normally just blow into glass your little figurines, but can you make an entire building?
Oh, Radko.
Radko, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, let's hit him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing if we could create our own custom ornaments. That would be amazing. You know, I have joined the Christmas decoration train with you. Just last night, much like you, I was like looking at the schedule for the next, it feels like the whole entire season. Yeah. And I'd said to my wife, she was like, when are you going to put up the decorations? And I was like, well, this weekend I got next weekend I'm, you know, going to New York and then I'm going in again in December. And I was like, before I knew it was like, if I don't do it right now, because when we were in Memphis with St. Jude, you know, it was like first week in November and they had the lights up on all the trees. And I was like, wow, this feels like soon.
Ready to go.
But then like when I looked at my own life, I was like, if I don't get on it right now, I'm going to be late to the party. Yeah. So I decided, I think I did this last year and it was like a tip that I'd given to people was to take one day to pull all the stuff out.
Sure.
So that way, because in the past I would try to do it all on one day.
Mm, so, take it out and put it up.
Exactly. And my back like for the next week was like, forget about it. But last night I went up, pulled all the stuff down. I organized it perfectly in the garage where like one half is all the indoor stuff and then the other half is all the outdoor stuff.
Nice.
So I've got it all sectioned out and like my girls came out into the garage last night. They were actually in the middle of dinner and I pulled sort of like a classic dad move where you're like, probably shouldn't pull your kids away from the dinner table. But I was so excited. I was like, hey, kiddo, you want to come see all the Christmas stuff? Yeah. And she's like, yes, I do. Yeah. And she was like mid bite of like macaroni and cheese or whatever. And so she came out and she was like, I remember that. And I remember that. And she's like, where's my mermaid ornament? Like she remembered all the stuff. So this week, actually in 2 days, I'm going to do the whole exterior of the house. And we're off to the races. It's man.
I have a good tip that I've never done before, but it makes sense now, and I don't know why I haven't done this. So when I took out of our shed all of the Christmas boxes, we have like three boxes. We have probably, I don't know, 20 boxes of Christmas stuff. We have like three boxes of Thanksgiving, Halloween, fall type stuff.
Yeah.
And usually when I take those out, I put all the stuff in, and then I put those into the back of the shed thinking like, well, let's get that out of the way. But then when it's fall next year, then you got to take all the Christmas stuff back out. So now, if you have a shed that you're keeping your stuff in, put the Halloween stuff right near the front.
Oh, yeah.
So that then it's ready to go.
So you don't have to dig through
all
the stuff. Yeah. I usually all my stuff goes in the rafters in my garage. So like I have like a quadrant that's like all fall stuff, really small, small section. Sure. And then like the rest of it, like I took a photo of it all on my garage floor last night and I sent it to a couple of my buddies.
Yeah.
And my one buddy who I've known since elementary school, he goes, all of that stuff is in your rafters. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm like at critical mass. I may need to start using a storage unit or buy a shed or something. I've crossed over into display land.
That's good.
Officially. The season is here. The decorations are coming out. You know, Starbucks has got their holiday cups now.
I have something to tell you about Starbucks.
Wait, what?
Oh my gosh. Lisa sent me a thing today. She was like, talk about this on the show.
Okay.
I want to see it. She said, so they used to have the gingerbread latte.
Right.
But it went away.
Well, I think a lot of people were up in arms.
Yeah, they were very upset. But now, just recently, they have a new iced gingerbread oat milk chai.
Ooh.
And Lisa said that because now they have gingerbread on site, you can order a gingerbread latte again. It's not on the menu, but they are able to make it.
So you got to like know how to order it specifically.
Secret order it. Okay. Secret menu order it. But yeah, people were all upset, but now it's... it's back.
Now there's a way to make it happen again. Okay, good, good, good. Because we don't want people to be upset, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you about another thing that I just did over the weekend.
Tell me.
So, you know, the town where we record our show, every year the Park District will put on a snow fest to sort of like kick off the holiday season. And so they bring in like, I don't know, some sort of big machine that like blows snow everywhere. And they'll create these like sledding ramps essentially. So they'll do like four sledding ramps and then they just do like a huge pile of snow and they have all these inflatables. And so we took the kids to it and Riley had never been on a sled before.
Sure.
And so I like, you know, took her up to one of the little, you know, I don't want to call it a lift because it's not, it's like hay bales with snow on it. And I was like, okay, sweetie. And she's like, no. I was like, okay, well, daddy will do it with you. I'll get on with you. Now it was 80 degrees outside. So like the snow was kind of melted. And I was like, can I go? And he's like, yeah, you can go. So I get on the little disc thing with her and the guy goes, all right, 1, 2, 3. And he pushes us and like 3 feet in, we just sink straight into the snow. And we're just, like, my wife caught the whole thing on film. And so then like, I was like, okay, that was anticlimactic. So I climbed off and I put Riley back on the disc and sent her sailing down. And my wife has this video of her. She's like, just alligator tears like pouring out of her. She's like, ah, she was not happy whatsoever, but it was a ton of fun. And they had me read my book on stage at the Snowfest. So it was like, I was like, all the things that feel like the signal of the holiday season are happening. There's a tree lighting at the mall here in town this weekend. So it's just a lot of merry stuff.
Do you know that there's, as we're talking about merry stuff, and this is not an ad for Sirius Radio, but
that'll come next week.
They have 20 holiday channels now.
Yeah.
20. That's amazing. They have like a Christmas lo-fi channel. They have a Christmas sleep channel.
They have lo-fi.
Yeah, a whole channel of it.
Oh my gosh.
So we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but now you can go to a whole channel that just plays continuously. Oh my gosh. Pretty cool.
I've been listening to that Bing Crosby one you told me about, and I'm just like...
So good.
Obsessed with it. So obsessed with it. But you're sharing that news about Starbucks. It makes me think we should do some Christmas news.
Christmas news. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We interrupt our program to bring you this...
Christmas news. All right, folks. We do have a bit of Christmas news. I'll start off here.
Mm-hmm.
Elf, the movie that we know and love obviously
so much, yep,
is coming back to theaters,
dude,
on November 17th,
which is tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow. It will be in theaters. It doesn't say how long. I would assume through the holidays.
Okay.
But if you live here in America, maybe it's happening internationally. I'm not sure. But it's going to be back in theaters, which is going to be fun. I'm going to try to see it in theaters again.
It'd be funny if you went dressed as Buddy the Elf. Yeah,
I could do that. You know, I've been looking at, because so we're training for this half marathon. Danny
right.
And I are both training right now.
Yeah.
There's like a 10K mid-December in my town, and it's like a Santa 10K.
Oh, fun.
And so I was going to do it because it's kind of lines up right with where, how far I should be running in my training.
Right.
But I want to wear like something festive.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was looking at trying to get, maybe Chubby's has those Santa shorts, you know, that are kind of short,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
they have the red and then the white fur.
Like the buckle and all.
Yeah, yeah. So I might get those. But I also have like a Buddy the Elf onesie that's like pajamas. So I could run in that. I'm just worried that I'll get really hot.
Yeah, I feel like at the beginning it's going to be nice because you'll be
right,
toasty.
Yeah.
But then once you hit like the half mile mark,
it gets
it'll
all
be like
sweaty and chafing.
It'll be like that moment in Anchorman where he's like, milk was a bad idea.
Milk was a bad choice.
I feel like you're going to be like, onesie was a bad idea. And then they're just going to see you with like a tied around your waist coming across the finish line. Like, sir,
no,
we're going to need you to come with us
yeah,
over here. But you could maybe get like those like compression pants,
that
like some red ones.
Yeah, yeah.
To match with the shorts,
yeah,
and then just
yeah,
go with like a whole Santa look, or maybe there's like some candy cane striped ones.
Yeah, I think I actually did order some of those.
Oh, you did?
I ordered some candy cane compression socks because my plantar fasciitis.
Oh, that old, that old chestnut.
Oh God, it's the worst. It's just the worst.
I might have to come run in that race with you. You know,
yeah,
if that feels
like
where we should be at training.
I think it's like December 15th or something. 11th, 15th, something like that.
Well, if you're doing it,
send
me the info and
I'd
love to check it out.
I haven't signed up for it yet, but when I do, I will.
Well, something that we can be listening to while we're training,
mm-hmm,
is this new Bing Crosby album that just came out. It's called Bing Crosby's Christmas Gems.
Hmm.
And it does have some of the songs that we know and love, you know, that, that Bing has recorded over the years. But this was curated by his estate, and it brings together a remarkable arrangement of some of the holiday favorites we know, along with a collection of never-before-released tracks from Crosby's musical archives.
Hmm.
So I've listened to it a couple times, and
it's
really, really good.
I love it.
And
quality is good, or does it sound kind of scratchy, wrecky?
It's a combo, which
cool.
I think
we
love that vibe. You know, that's why we love the lo-fi music so much. But it's got Just What I Wanted for Christmas on there. It's got Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. It's really good. And I think the collaboration with David Bowie is on there as well. So if you're a big Bing Crosby fan, which, you know, I think if you love Christmas, you love Christmas music, most people know Bing's voice, unless you live in the UK, apparently, where we don't listen to the standards at all, which is wild, but definitely check it out. You can get it in vinyl or you can stream it wherever you get your music. It's called Bing Crosby's Christmas Gems.
Ooh, I like that. Very cool.
Dropping gems.
Yeah. Do we have any other news?
I think that's it for this.
Should we do some memes and things?
Let's do
just
it.
Just a couple?
I'm in.
Let's do it.
Memes and things, memes and things. It's time for Eric's memes and things.
Very fun.
Never gets old.
I always love that.
Never gets old.
All right, folks, here's a couple things. Now, this is a cool thing. I meant to post this or talk about this a couple of weeks ago because they will have announced at this point. There is a, I don't know if it's a comp, I guess we'd call it a company because I think they do pop-up shops. Maybe they have an actual location. It's called Fork and Film.
Ooh.
Fork and Film. And they are based in Southern California here. And they do food, but then they play a movie at
Ooh.
The same time, and the food is all very inspired by the movie. Like they would do a Harry Potter one, but they have Christmas movies that are going to be happening this season. So if you go to Fork and Film on Instagram, you can see which movies they're doing, and it looks very, very cool. So Fork and Film, just wanted to give them
and
a
that's
little...
just in SoCal, or that's
I think it's just in Southern California.
Okay.
This is a great thing, and we will post this on our Instagram just as a reminder. I have a friend named Carrie O'Malley who is a great actress, and she posts every year because her name is O'Malley, which is O apostrophe M-A-L-L-E-Y.
Okay.
And in light of that, she always posts the guide to pluralizing your name for holiday cards because it drives her crazy when people use apostrophes in the wrong place. Yes. So just as a reminder, no apostrophes are needed ever. This is important. Stop using apostrophes. Please, we beg of you. Most families simply end with an S. If you're the Smith family, you're the Smiths.
Right.
No apostrophe S, just the Smiths. Johnsons, the Johnsons. Millers, the Millers. Last names ending in S, CH, SH, X, or Z get an ES.
Mm, okay.
Okay. So like the Walters becomes the W-A-L-T-E-R-E-S.
The Walters?
Walters. The Lynches becomes L-Y-N-C-H-E-S.
Oh, gotcha.
The Bushes, okay. The Bush family. That would be B-U-S-H-E-S, not just S.
So you're adding an extra letter to their last name.
Correct.
I wouldn't have thought of doing that.
That's if their last name ends in S, C-H, S-H, X, or Z.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then it says, when in doubt, simply stick with the blank family.
That's what we do.
The Petersons just say the Peterson family.
Yes.
But no, exactly the main thing is no apostrophes are needed ever. You're not the Petersons owning the card. You're just the Petersons.
Or the Petersons owning the Petersons.
That's right. That's right. Okay, this is a fun thing. This is on Old Navy. There is a set of pajama pants that say Christmas Crew on them, which is really cool because we always refer to our listeners as the Christmas Crew. So if you're into want to get really on brand, you can check that out. Funko Pops. We love Funko Pops. I don't know if you've seen this one at the Target lately, but they have Elvis in front of the Elvis Christmas album. It's all in like a glass case, which is really cool. Yeah, love that.
I think I saw it on like hottopic.com or something recently, and I think I posted it in our private group, and I was like, I need this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. this is just a joke. Nothing to do with Christmas, but it's just funny. I say, I'm terrified of random letters. And the therapist says, you are? Oh, I see.
Oh, that's really funny. I like that
a lot. That's the whole joke. Okay, this is a great thing that I saw. This is, again, not necessarily Christmas, but I think it's in the spirit of the season. Somebody named Vala Afshar on Twitter said, I started asking my 12-year-old son, who did you help today? Instead of how was school. So he now starts his stories with, I held the door for so-and-so. I helped a friend with math. I asked someone to sit with us at lunch. He now proactively shares how he was helpful at school.
That's so great.
I was like, because it's all you parents out there, I'm sure know the frustration with your kids been gone at school all day long. You pick them up. You just want to hear about their day. And you're like, how was school? Fine.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, what happened? What was, you know, and I've read so many different parenting blogs about like, try to ask them, who'd you sit with at lunch? And that might open them up a little bit more. What was a moment that you smiled or what was a moment that you were sad and trying to like get more information. But I like this one of saying, who did you help today?
I like that.
Because it also forces, if you're going to ask them every day, they want to have something to tell you. So they're going to go through their day with sort of a helpful spirit, which I think is really cool.
Now, why do you think that started? Because obviously you and I, when we were kids, when our parents would ask us that question, what would we say? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Like, when did that start?
When did parents start realizing, like, I'd really actually like to know what's going on?
But also, like, why did kids just...
Oh, why do kids not give answers?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Do you think it's that... I was thinking about this recently, is that... when a kid is at school, you know, especially as they start like learning, right? Like their brains are getting taxed and maybe the last thing they want to
go over it again
is to go over it again. And they just want to be away from school and just be a kid, you know, and maybe that's what they're
not think about
looking for from their parent is like to just give them a sort of a break from that sort of stuff.
And especially when you ask them right when you pick them up, like they get in the car and they're just like, oh, I guess here would be a good way to... maybe a metaphor for it. You go on vacation for a full week. It's amazing. Yeah. You have a great time. But by the time you get home, you're exhausted. You walk in the door, you set down your bag, you sit on the couch, and your wife's like, tell me everything about your trip. And you're like, I just need like 10 minutes to not do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe it's that kind of feeling.
It's got to be similar to that, I would imagine. It's like you just need a decompress moment of not having to be on high alert all the time.
Okay, this is there are two new elf. There's a lot of elf things, accoutrement, merch, partnerships.
Yeah.
I know Hannah Anderson is doing one with Elf. Pottery Barn is doing one.
Really?
Crocs is doing one. You can get Elf Crocs now. Awesome. This was dope underscore Don underscore designs made a pair of Nike SBs, but like turned them into Elf, which is really cool.
That's really, really cool.
And then, but you can also get the Crocs, as I said. Stance, do you ever wear Stance socks?
No.
They're a really good sock company.
Okay.
But they have the Mariah Carey like Christmas album cover.
That's awesome.
Which is really fun as socks.
Are they the ones that make like the custom ones? Because my wife for Christmas last year gave me two pairs of socks, one that had Emerson's face all over them and another one that had like Riley's face.
You might be able to customize their socks. Okay. Yeah, on their website. Okay. This was, I thought, fun. And this is, since we were talking about the UK. In the UK, they say, we call it autumn from the French word autumpun and Latin, the Latin autumnus. That's yes. why they call it autumn. But in the US, we call it fall because leaf fall down.
That is funny. Like, I was thinking about that recently. Like, why do some Nobody of us default autumn. To yeah. autumn and yeah. some default to fall? Because technically it is autumn.
Yeah, autumn is the name right? of the season.
Okay.
But we all call it fall.
Yeah.
We've talked about this company before, Bauble Bar.
Oh, yes.
But they have this really cool, you can get custom ornaments that look like a candy cane and very bedazzled
yeah.
And shiny. But then, I don't know if you can see it, Danny, but there you can get a person's name on the candy cane.
Oh, wow.
Like it's sort of like the candy cane is broken in half and you can see like the names.
That's
like,
super cool.
It's very cool. From Bauble Bar.
Nice.
Okay, just like one more thing here. Okay, just a couple more. Okay, this is good. This is a meme from Introverted Struggle. And it says, trees during Christmas. And the trees are all lit up. You know, they look great. And then it said, the birds in their nests. And it's a bunch of guys who are just like, ugh, the light is like so bright. So it's imagining these poor birds that live in these trees yeah. that we put lights
They're
all
like
over.
Trying to go to
They're
sleep.
Like, I can't go to sleep. The lights are all too bright. Very funny.
And now with LED ones,
yes.
they're even brighter.
And let's do this one just because I heard it on the way in.
Okay.
Just a little shout out to music artists. There is a singer named Aubrey Logan, A-U-B-R-E-Y Logan. She plays the trombone, Ooh. But she also is a jazz singer and she scats. And she has a new Christmas album, but on it, her version of Sleigh Ride is so good. I'm going to play just a second.
I want to hear it. Wow, that's incredible. She plays the trombone. And she sings, and yep. she's also a scat singer.
Yes.
That's
she does
it.
All of it.
That is absolutely incredible.
Okay, here we go. Just hear those sleigh bells tingling, ring, ding, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside, the snow is falling, and friends are calling, yahoo! Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy Ooh. Up, let's go. Very jazzy.
Yeah. Are you serious?
It's so good, right?
Yeah, that is so great.
Aubrey Logan. Yeah.
You know who her voice reminds me of is the woman in Pentatonix.
Yeah, yeah. They're very similar.
Kristen, I think, is her yeah. name. Like, their voices sound very, very yeah. similar. I don't think Kristen plays trombone.
No.
As far as I know.
All right, so that's my memes and things. Chris, you got a game for us today?
I sure do have a game. Let's go ahead and play it.
Let's do it.
Love it.
There it is. Oh. It's called the pricing game. Mm. For this one, I'll be yes. asked. I asked our good friends. Sorry, let's start over again. This one, I asked our good friends in the show's private Facebook group to list toys that made the top of their Christmas list.
Oh, fun.
I'll give you two toys. And all you have to do is tell me which one was more expensive at the time that it was released.
Okay, I like this.
Now, it's like a jingle in first sort of situation?
You can do a jingle in first if you want.
Okay.
All right, I'll get my customary mug. You get your customary jingle bells.
Here we go. Here's the first one. We have, or the first two, I suppose. We have Tickle Me Elmo or the Ghostbusters Proton Pack?
Crackle, crackle.
I think we should just both say what we think it is.
Yeah, I guess you can. Okay. Yeah,
because we're both like going to have a crackle.
So
right off the
which
bat.
One was most expensive?
Most expensive? I'm going to go the Proton Pack.
Proton Pack, and the other one was Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Now, the Proton Pack would have come out earlier, so things would have been cheaper back then.
Sure.
So in 1988, but we're not accounting for inflation, but the prices obviously are a little bit cheaper back
sure.
in the day.
Sure.
I mean, that sounds like a very involved toy.
Yeah.
So I think you're
right.
I think
I had that
I think your Proton Pack is right. I'm going to agree with you.
Because that was the thing that you slide on the ground, and then you press the button, and it opens up, and that's what the ghost gets sucked into, right?
I'm going to be a nerd right now and say that's not the thing. That's the trap.
It's the backpack.
The backpack is with a little with a gun that I think it shot like little Nerf pellets, like little like,
okay.
Oh, that's got to be at least $40.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm going, yeah, I'm going to
I'm going to agree with you. Yeah, I'm going to agree. Yep.
The Ghostbusters pack came out in 1988, retailed at $21.99.
Oh,
Tickle Me Elmo came out in 1996 and retailed for $28.99.
Dang.
All right.
See, that's what was the time difference. I was like, you know,
yeah.
Things just go up in price.
All right.
Dang it.
I remember Tickle Me Elmo being the first, like, you can't find it. It's sold out everywhere kind
right.
of toy. Where it was like everybody wanted it. It was, we were too old for it, but I remember that time of like, it was on the news all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't find a Tickle Me Elmo.
That was, my sister wanted one. Yeah. And I don't know if they were able to get her one. I'll have to ask my mom about that. Yeah.
My name Elmo.
You do a great Elmo, right?
I can do Elmo real good. Real, real good. Yeah. All right, what's the next question, Chris?
I'll do Cookie Monster.
What's next?
The next one is the Talk Boy Deluxe. And if you don't know, the Talk Boy Deluxe is the Talk Boy that has the option of slowing the audio down.
Okay.
Or the My Buddy doll.
Oh, I love
My Buddy.
My Buddy. Wherever I go, he's going to go, My Buddy.
And then there was Kid Sister.
Kid Sister. Oh, so I loved My Buddy.
Oh, and I love...
Okay. Oh. My Buddy's definitely earlier. That's early 80s.
I feel like it's got to be the Talk Boy.
And Talk Boy's electronic. Let's go Talk Boy.
Yeah, that's got to be at least $25, $30.
Yeah,
right?
Talk Boy.
The Talk Boy Deluxe came out in 1993, and it retailed at $29.99.
Ooh.
My Buddy came out in 1986 and retailed for $25.
Yay,
so that's correct.
Up top.
All right. Ooh. All right. That's good.
This is Peter McAllister, the father. I'd like a room, please.
I do that for my kids, and they tell me to stop. But they're not here right now.
So let it ring.
So now Eric tells me to stop.
The next one we have is the iPod Mini.
Oh.
Or the PlayStation 1.
Oh, okay. This is hard.
This is a hard one. I just found an iPod Mini in a drawer the other day.
Is iPod Mini the one that was like literally this big?
That was the clip.
That's work.
There was a clip. No, it was the one that was like about that big. And it had like a little thing
skinny.
It clipped into
yeah,
that you could
okay,
like
yeah,
put
yeah.
over your
yep,
like,
okay,
belt or whatever.
That. Okay. Or a PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 1 was probably $99.99, I would guess, when it came out.
But I bet that an iPod was more than that.
I think it was like
$150.
I was going to say the same thing,
yeah.
$149.99.
Let's go iPod.
iPod Mini, yeah.
The iPod Mini came out in 2004 and retailed for $249.
Whoa.
The PlayStation 1 came out in 1995 and retailed for $299.
Oh.
Wow, it was that expensive Dang. When it first came out?
Yeah.
In the 90s, Jeez. You said? That's a lot of money in the 90s.
Well, now like
sure
I'm
was.
Thinking back to like I think my godfather gave us one. Now I'm like,
"Hey, rich."
He rich. Yeah. I got to call him for my Broadway show. Oh my gosh.
Next one we have is the Pet Rock or the Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh,
that's good. That's good.
Did you ever have a Pet Rock?
Nah, that was
Man,
like a 70s
I.
thing. My dad definitely had one cuz he would talk about it.
Etch-a-Sketch, what, like $10, $15, you think?
Yeah, Pet Rock, $7.
$7-$8, I think.
Let's go Etch-a-Sketch.
Etch-a-Sketch.
The Etch-a-Sketch came out in 1960 and retail for $2.99.
Oh, eesh.
The Pet Rock came out in 1975 and retailed for a remarkable $3.95.
Dang it. These are hard.
Etch-a-Sketch was so cheap.
I know. It's more expensive now than it was back then.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's an old toy.
That's crazy.
Wow. Because the price to produce it probably hasn't gone up that dramatically, right?
It's a bunch of like metal shavings.
I'm going to get a time machine. I'm going to go back and buy a bunch of Etch-a-Sketches.
Sell them now.
Come down and sell for $10.
That's right.
Of all the things you could do with a time machine.
Yeah.
You're
well, first.
You're going to get a bunch of Etch-a-Sketches.
I'm going to get that gambling almanac. Right. And then I'm going to get a bunch of Etch-a-Sketches.
Now you're on the right track. Next up, we have the Tamagotchi, which we talked about in the last episode, came out in 1996, or the Easy Bake Oven.
Mm. Oh, Tamagotchi is what, like 15, 20 bucks?
That feels right.
And an Easy Bake Oven is probably like 25, 30.
Yeah, I go Easy Bake.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Easy Bake.
Easy Bake Oven came out in 1963 and retailed for $15.95. Oh, Tamagotchi came out, like I said, 1996 and retailed for $18.
Oh my gosh. These are close.
We really
got to
account for the time.
Yeah. But I didn't think that Easy Bake Oven would be in the 60s.
Yeah.
I could believe the 80s, maybe even the 70s, but 60s, wow.
I feel like we had one in my house growing up that looked like it came out in the 60s. Like it had the old box with like the masking tape around it sort of situation.
Yeah.
And like you just put a light bulb in it and it still worked. Man, this is a tough one.
We have four more. Here we go. This one is He-Man or Barbie?
Just the action figure.
Just the action figure.
I think it's He-Man.
He-Man.
Because Barbie came out in like the, was it the 50s for the first time? Yeah. I should know this considering I went to Barbie school for for the show I worked on.
Yeah. He-Man.
He-Man.
He-Man came out in 1983 and retailed for $4.99. Yes. Barbie came out in 1959 and retailed for $3.
Yes! Boom!
I definitely got the He-Man, was it called Castle Grayskull?
Yeah.
In the 80s, that was like one of my best gifts that I ever got.
And then there was Skeletor.
Skeletor.
I still have my Skeletor.
Yeah.
And there were versions that had squishy heads, and then I feel like versions that didn't have squishy heads.
Did you ever have the guy that, like, he had springs for his legs, and then you could spin his head around? Do you know what I'm talking about, Chris?
Absolutely.
He had like, different faces, but he was very short and stout, but he would, like, jump up in the air.
What was his name?
I don't remember his
name.
Eight-Face
or something?
I probably made a different name up for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But the guy who, like, had the red cloak, was he from Thundercats? Orko, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the floating Orko, yeah.
Yeah, was he from Thundercats or He-Man?
He was from He-Man.
Oh, he was from He-Man.
Yeah.
I have an Orko somewhere. Like, it had this, like, metal pin that sticks out of the bottom, and you'd put, like, a zip tie through
and
you pull
and
it.
And then it goes...
And he goes...
Yeah.
Man, those toys.
I also had Skunk Ore that, like, smelled really bad. Moss Man that was made of...
I had to return Skunk Ore because it gave me a headache.
Yeah, it was bad smelling. It was, like, truly terrible smelling. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Skunk Ore.
They brought back those smelling toys. Have you seen those?
No.
My daughter, for her birthday, I'd never heard of these, and I don't know what they were called, but they like look like little squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 10 different scents. One's like buttered popcorn, another one's like, so it's like penny popcorn and Cali caramel or whatever. And you open them up, and they smell.
That's cool.
It's a little too much.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little, and they're like all furry and stuff. I was like, this just feels a little too. Yeah. I don't know.
Dude,
I don't know. We donated them. Yeah.
What do you got, Chris?
Moving on, we have Cabbage Patch Kid or Furby.
Oh, Furby. I feel confident with that one.
I'm going to split you on this one.
Really?
Just to see what happens. Yeah,
okay.
I'll go Cabbage Patch.
Cabbage Patch Kid came out in 1982 and retailed for $25. The Furby came out in 1998 and retailed for $35.
Woo! Those Furbies were kind of creepy.
Yeah.
When they first, and like people who had Furbies were like really into Furbies.
What's the movie? Is it one of the Toy Stories where the Furby like comes to life and it's huge and it's like taking over the mall? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I don't think it's a Toy Story one.
There's definitely some movie where someone's in a mall and a Furby comes to life and becomes like 30 feet tall and is like,
was it maybe Toy Soldiers or something like that?
No, it's something new. It's something
newer. Okay.
If anybody who's listening knows what I'm talking about, just remind me. I'm 100% sure that I've seen this. I just can't remember.
Or shoot us a DM or something like that. Let us know, listeners. Yeah.
Next one we have Mr. Potato Head or the Rubik's Cube.
Ooh.
These are hard, Chris.
That feels like Well, Rubik's Cube was what, like late 70s, early 80s, do you think?
I think maybe even earlier, 60s.
Really?
60s, 70s.
And Potato Head was what, like 50s?
Probably 50s, yeah.
Or 60s. But there's so much more to Potato Head. I'm just going to go Rubik's Cube.
All right. Yeah, we'll go Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube came out in 1980 and retailed for $1.99. Mr. Potato Head came out in 1952 and famously did not include a potato. And that one retailed for 98 cents. So you got
So back in the day, it was just like the eyeballs, the arms, and you'd stick it onto your own potato.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's fun.
I didn't know that fun fact.
Either. That's a good.
Well, I guess when you factor in having to buy the potato, it might be more expensive than a Rubik's Cube.
But that
cube.
Was not the question.
That's true.
Here's the very last one. We have the Razor Scooter or Teddy Ruxpin?
Oh, Teddy Ruxpin is my friend. Did you? Oh, so you never had one?
I remember them.
And there was Grubby? Yeah. And you could like connect them with the cord and they would sing back and forth to each other.
Yeah, my friends all had them. I remember looking at them and being like, wow,
that's
so cool.
Really cool. I wish I had one of those.
Razor scooters, probably like $60.
When it first came out, yeah, those were expensive.
$60.
And Teddy's probably like $30.
Yeah, let's go Razor.
I think you're right.
Razor scooter.
Razor scooter came out in the year 2000 and cost $120.
That's crazy.
And Teddy Ruxpin came out in 1985 and cost $70.
Whoa, we nailed it, but also $70.
$70 and 85. That's an expensive gift.
Yeah, I liked Teddy Ruxpin a lot.
Yeah.
I wish he would come back.
I had my buddy, and do you remember there was like a monster that would like break out of its jail cell, and it came with these orange cuffs that like you could put on the monster, but then me and my brother would always wear them, and they were like breakaway cuffs.
Yeah.
And we'd go, like break away the cuffs, like we were so strong. Do you know what I'm talking about, Chris?
Yeah, I think it was called My Little Monster.
My Little Monster or something like that. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
That was a good one. I'm gonna show you a picture.
That's so fun. Now like I'm racking my brain to think about like what the toys were when I was a kid that I really, really wanted. I know Ninja Turtles was like really big for me, like in the early 90s. I wanted like the van.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. It had like a rubber band thing, so like you could release it and like the door would like fly open, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I was really into like Micro Machines.
Loved
for a while. You know, if it doesn't say Micro Machines, it's not the real thing. You know, I had
it's
the plane.
It's called My Pet Monster. If you're looking at
my pet
this
monster.
Is it.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes. 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 Isn't it funny when you like in your mind you can't picture it?
Yeah.
But then once you see
it,
the picture,
boom,
like
all the memories
all the
come
commercials,
back.
Commercials. I remember. All the things.
My pet monster.
Yeah. That's
and
why I
have the cuffs.
Dude, that's so cool. That's why I'm such a huge like proponent of like showing the various like catalogs to my kids.
Because
like those are such cherished memories of like seeing the commercials, seeing the Toys R Us guide and being like, that thing looks so cool. I want that.
Yeah.
That was a great game, Chris.
Very good.
Thank
game,
you
Chris.
Very much.
I love it.
And thanks to all the fans who chimed in with their
thank
favorite
you.
Toys yeah, from
please,
their
thank
childhood.
Thank you so much to everyone that helped out.
Love it. All right, let's get to the countdown, yeah?
Let's do it. Timpani.
All righty, folks. Top 10 Christmas desserts. As a reminder, my number 10 through 6 was candy canes, pudding / mousse, gingerbread house with candy, white fudge covered Oreos, and hot apple cider / hot chocolate.
Yes.
All right, my number 5 probably should be my number like 2. I don't know why I put it at 5.
You can move it right now.
I could
move it.
Want
to get spicy.
But I am going to move it. I'm going to move it to 2. I'm going to put my number 2 down to 5, and you'll know when we get to 2. That's a good tease, too.
Yeah.
All right. My number 5 now is going to be peppermint bark.
Ooh.
I love peppermint bark.
That's good.
I like it when it's like Ghirardelli's peppermint bark, which is very thin, so it's easy to eat. I also kind of love the real thick peppermint bark that you got to like – drop onto the counter, hit it with a hammer a couple of times to break it into the little pieces.
Right.
I love homemade peppermint bark. I like it when it's in a tin. I like it at a store. I like it at a little like Christmas village. Anywhere I can get peppermint bark, I'm in for it. I like to put it in my hot chocolate.
Ooh.
I like to eat it plain. I like to put it as a dessert. It's so good.
What is like the main
it's
item?
Usually
is it fudge?
Chocolate. Yeah, chocolate or fudge.
Okay.
And then like a layer of peppermint crumbles
sort of mixed into it, or like when the, I guess when the fudge is sort of soft, you like
push
it in so it gets in there.
Yeah,
because I always think of like the white peppermint bark, and I've always wondered, is that white chocolate? Is that fudge? Okay,
I think it's white chocolate. Yeah,
such a great choice.
Yeah, love peppermint bark.
So good.
It's a good one.
All right, so recapping my 10 through 6, at number 10, I had honey roasted nuts, such as pecans and cashews. Number 9, Santa's trash cookies. Number 8, nice cup of thick hot chocolate. Number 7, pumpkin cream pie. Number 6, coffee cake. Number 5, I'm going to go with something that really I think I've become a bigger fan of as I've gotten older. And that's going to be fresh, warm gingerbread cookies. I don't know what has happened, but as I've gotten older, like the flavor of gingerbread, I've really, really started to appreciate in a whole new way. I think when I was younger, it just felt a little too bitter
sure.
for me. But like, you know, our palates are always changing as we get older. And I'm not thinking about like, the, you know, we talked about this in part one is like the gingerbread on like a gingerbread house. I'm thinking of like a nice thick gingerbread cookie that's like warm out of the oven, that's got a little bit of the crisp on the outside, mm-hmm. but is warm and soft on the inside. I also saw while I was researching, you know, desserts for this, somebody had had a recipe for gingerbread thumbprint cookies, you know, like thumbprint cookies where you like, you put something in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a little chocolate.
You do a chocolate, Hershey Kiss or something. Whatever you want. Theirs was with dulce de leche in the middle. And I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds so, so good, but I can only pick one. So I'm going to go with fresh gingerbread cookies. Could be gingerbread man, could be round, doesn't matter to me. It's got to be fresh, warm, and soft in the middle.
I love that. There, I don't know that there's anything better than a cookie that is hard on the outside and soft in the middle. And the way that it just like breaks apart is just so good.
It's that combination of textures, and I swear they taste different.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Like, what is it about like molecular composition that makes something taste different?
Yeah.
Like cold pizza tastes different than hot pizza.
Yeah.
And fresh hot pizza tastes different than reheated.
Have you ever also noticed that water tastes better at night than during the day?
Especially in the middle of the night.
Like middle of the night when you need just that like...
Well, you're so thirsty.
So thirsty.
And you like go in the bathroom and you like turn on the faucet and you just put your face underneath it. You're like, why don't I drink more water? This is the most scrumptious thing I've ever had in my life. Yeah.
I think that every time I'm like, I should only be drinking water. This is so good.
What does this tell me? Yeah. My most pure state, water is the best.
Oh my gosh. That's so good.
That's really funny. I've never thought about it.
And apologies if you could hear my stomach growling during Danny's segment there.
It was the gingerbread cookie
talk. It was
talk.
Very grumbly.
It was like, I agree with that selection. Give me some now.
All right. My number four is going to be... Ooh, I love these. And I tried to get some of these today, but I couldn't find them at the store.
Okay.
At least at the Vaughn's near here. Is going to be Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes.
I've never had them.
Oh.
Never had them.
They are so good. They taste kind of like a ho-ho.
Right.
If you will. They're just so good. They even come, you can get now, you can get Christmas, Little Debbie Christmas tree cake ice cream.
That's right.
Which has cake chunks and green sprinkles. It's so good. I just love those. They come in a box usually. It's like the perfect, because again, I'm not a cake guy, but this, there's something about the frosting on the outside, and especially if they're cold, that is like a really, really good little treat.
That sounds delicious.
Very sweet. Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes.
I feel like I've got to try those this season.
Yeah, because yeah. We'll
I've never tried them. I realized something in this moment as you were just talking about how they're really sweet. I have not said once this episode my token line.
That's true.
And I'm going to see if I can
get through this whole episode without saying it.
Now that I've thought about it, sure, I feel like I've doomed myself. Yeah,
now it's coming.
Now this next item is something that I grew up knowing is like a treat around the holiday season because my... I guess the best way to describe her is my ex-stepmom. I don't know how better to say it than that.
Sure, yeah.
But she was always really into baking at the holiday season. I'm sure she still is. And she would make date bars and all this other stuff. But the treat that she would make that I loved the most was shortbread cookies. And not like the thin sort of wafery ones, which are good. Like I love, you know, you can get them anywhere. Like there's a great Scottish company that makes like thin shortbread wafers. I'm talking about the ones that are like double thick.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of like fall apart as you like bite into them.
Yeah.
And they don't really need to have anything on the top. I think she would do like the double like cross like fork print thing and like do some sprinkles on the top. Yeah. But the ingredients are super simple. In fact, it is the lyrics to a musical. Sugar, butter, flour.
There you go.
Don't let me down.
That's right.
That's it. And to me... Flour. It's, yeah. When I looked that up, I was like, how am I going to bring that up on the show? I was like, I want to be silly about it, but then I couldn't think of anything. So I was like, I'll just say it. But yeah, I love the softness of the shortbread. And I think when you do them super thick, I don't know if it's something about the baking process, but I feel like you can't make them crispy all the way through. Inevitably, you have that soft. It almost can come across chalky, but like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So I'm just going to go with the basic nice and thick shortbread cookie.
And those are the ones that have like the sugar crystals on top, right?
Yes.
A lot of times, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You do like the fruit with the fork, and then you do like some, maybe a little red, maybe a little green.
Those are really good.
Throw them into a Tupperware container.
I do love
those. Boom, gifts for teachers.
That's good.
So good.
Yeah, they are good. They are definitely a teacher gift kind
of. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
All right, my number three.
Yes.
It's going to be chocolate chip cookies.
The old classic.
Good old-fashioned chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
Now, are they a holiday dessert? Yes. Could they be a dessert any time of the year? Yes. But we're going to think about them at the holidays.
Yes.
And I love a homemade chocolate chip cookie. Mm. I love a homemade pre-cut, Toll House when they get, you know, you can buy
the little
thing,
squares
where
you
they're already
peel them
pre-cut,
off.
You know. Those usually never make it to the oven. Those
they go straight into
go
that.
Right into the mouth.
Yep.
But I loved when my mom would make chocolate chip cookies at the holidays and let me lick the batter and stuff like that. I love it. But I also am thinking about Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh.
So I may have talked about this on the podcast at some point in the last 3 years, but my first job was at Auntie Anne's Pretzels.
Right.
And we were in the mall and we were right next to a Mrs. Fields cookies.
Okay.
Like right next to each other. And all teenage kids working there all the time, right?
Right.
And so when it was the end of the day, we would cook like 50 extra pretzels like 10 minutes before we closed, and they would make like 50 extra cookies right before they closed.
Right.
And then we go, oh man, we didn't sell these pretzels. Guess we got to give them away. And then so we would trade with Mrs. Fields and they would be like, yeah, we didn't sell these cookies. And so they give us a big bag of cookies.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So I used to come home from work with either an enormous bag of pretzels or a lot of times of an enormous bag of Mrs. Fields freshly cooked chocolate chip cookies. And they have that kind of just soft, pull it apart, the chocolate kind of stretches out.
It's the stuff that dreams are made of.
So good.
Where like the chocolate is just melting ever so slightly. Like it's not like just dripping everywhere, right. But it's just got this almost like a good like cheese pull, as we say, in like the food, you know, TV world. It's like you lift it up and the cheese is pulling away. It's the same thing with that chocolate. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Chocolate chip cookies, number three.
It feels like, you know, I mean, we've asked Santa J. Claus before. I know he's answered, you know, what's his favorite kind of cookie? He always says the yummy ones.
Yeah, the good ones.
But I feel like chocolate chip just feels like maybe that's
the way to go.
Santa's favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great selection. All right. Number three for me is going to be an item I know I've talked about on the show before, and that's going to be Reese's peanut butter trees.
Those are good. I can't believe I didn't put those on the list.
They are legitimately the best.
Oh, those are really good.
Do you think
they're better than eggs?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so because I tie them to Christmas.
Sure.
And I feel like now, because it's sort of become like a thing, you can go to like Lowe's or any store really, and they've got like massive ones that weigh like five pounds. Didn't we see that last year? You and I were out shopping, I think at Lowe's, and they had one that weighed like 5 pounds.
Yeah. Didn't we get it and we ate?
We did. Yeah. And it was so much peanut butter.
So much peanut butter.
But it's not like peanut butter in the traditional sense. There's something granular in it that makes their peanut butter so good. And at the holiday season, when you're eating those trees, it feels like the chocolate is very thin. But then inside of that is just that fluffy, granular, delicious peanut butter that you just can't go wrong with. And I think I talked about when we did like our stocking stuffers, I think that's when I first listed it. But I mean, I'm not a big sweets guy.
I tried so hard, folks, he couldn't do it.
But I will be a sweets guy for some Reese's peanut butter trees. And I feel like every year my mom will always text me, be like, what do you want in your stocking this year?
Do you text back? Not a big sweets guy, but
I probably write. I mean, you guys know that I'm not a, but I'll always ask for protein bars. But I always ask for peanut butter ones because I feel like I'm trying to get that Reese's peanut butter tree vibe. And I think in the back of my mind and my heart's like, come on, just ask for like 6 peanut butter trees. Just do it. And so I think I'm going to do it this year.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's what Santa brings you.
It's so good. That's my number three.
I like that. All right. My number two. This was my number five. It got bumped up to number two.
Yeah.
Oh, these are so good. So good. I probably have talked about these before.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. These are a chocolate.
Okay.
That come from a chocolatier company in Chicago.
Okay.
Called Fannie Mae Chocolates.
Okay.
Which you can order on Amazon. Mint Meltaways.
That's right.
Woo-wee! I love Mint Meltaways.
Yes.
Did I buy you, have you tried them?
I think
we did
when you first talked about them, I think it's when we were doing the show virtually, season one. And so we never saw each other the entire first season.
We're going to order some from Amazon.
Let's do it.
We'll bring them in. They come in green and brown in the whole assortment. they're perfect when you put them in the fridge. Okay. A little cold. Oh my God. It's just the, as I talked about, I love mint. I love the mint chocolate flavor combination. And these are so, so good. And back in the day, I've not seen this since I was a child, but if I could still see it, I'd put it number one on this list.
Okay.
But I felt like I couldn't put it because I don't think it's available anymore.
Right.
But we used to have Market Day. Would you have Market Day?
I don't know.
It was like
what
a
that
thing.
Is.
It was like a company that they would send home a, basically a bunch of grocery store items, okay, and then you would order them on a sheet. You'd bring it in, you'd turn it in, and then like 2 weeks later, you'd come to the school, and it would be like frozen foods and produce, oh, wow, and all the stuff that you would get at the grocery store. But I think the idea was, because it was going through the school, like the school got a cut.
Okay.
So it was like a way of doing your grocery shopping, but giving money to your school at the same time.
Okay.
Anyways, it was called Market Day. And in Market Day, they had a Fannie Mae mint melt-away cake, ooh, that were individually wrapped in gold tinfoil, about yay big, chocolate cake slices that were like perfectly made with mint meltaways. Oh, it was so stinking good.
Sounds incredible.
I think we had it maybe 1 year, and I still remember it. Like, to this day, is one of the greatest things I have ever tasted. So, number two for me has got to be Fannie Mae's Mint Meltaways, and you can get them on Amazon.
Okay,
order.
Maybe we'll put a link for those in the episode description, so people can find them if they never tried them before. And I got to order them so I can finally try them.
So good.
All right, number two, which I think maybe you're number one, so I'll just be really quick about it. Well, we'll see, but I feel pretty good.
Sure.
Sugar cookies. I mean, you can't go wrong with a sugar cookie. They really just feel like the ultimate holiday treat. It's one of those things, like, I feel like we kind of maybe see them throughout the year, but at the holiday season, that's when sugar cookie, like, takes center stage.
Yeah.
I was about to say takes the cake, but then that didn't feel like it was accurate.
Mixed
it
metaphors,
takes the cookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're so delicious. I've seen various recipes where people will make like, they'll dye like half the batter red,
mm-hmm,
and then the rest like the normal sort of batter color, and then they'll wrap them around and you
smart
make, you know, like the candy cane ones. I just feel like a sugar cookie, it's a classic. You can mix in stuff with it if you want. You can just eat it as a plain sugar cookie. It's great to have on a platter at a party. It's a great gift to give somebody. And I don't know, something about a sugar cookie, maybe because it doesn't have chocolate or anything else in it, it just feels like I'm not being too bad.
Yeah.
When I have a sugar, like, I feel like I'm being a little bad. I'm being a little naughty when I have one.
But not too bad.
Yeah, for someone who's not a big sweets person, you know, it's just like, you know.
He got it in again, folks. He got it in again.
Anyway, I'm sure you have plenty to say about sugar cookies. So that's my number two.
I like it. Strong choice. And you are correct. It is my number one choice is sugar cookies, but specifically with cinnamon imperials. Okay. Picture this, folks. You're looking at a plate of sugar cookies,
mm-hmm,
and there's maybe a Christmas tree. It's got maybe some white frosting on it, but then some green frosting where the greenery would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then from bottom to top, every single square millimeter of this cookie is covered with cinnamon imperials.
All over?
All over. I'm
really
talking every single, you can barely even see the frosting anymore because there are so many cinnamon imperials.
Oh my gosh.
That sounds like the greatest cookie that I could ever eat in my life.
You would go that big?
Absolutely.
Oh,
wow. Absolutely. If I could cover every single inch of a cookie with where every bite that I took had like four or five cinnamon imperials in it, would be.
Have you ordered your cinnamon imperials for this
Not
year?
Not yet. I need to, because
remember you ran into
like
a little issue.
Sell out. Yeah. I you know what? As soon as we finish, I'm going to order them on Amazon.
Do it. You'll get some the mint meltaways.
Yes, and some cinnamon imperials. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have to order them to come here, because I feel like I haven't had one in a while, because it's a different cinnamon experience.
It is.
It's spicy.
It's spicy. It's closer to like a red hot.
Yes.
But not quite as spicy, but very close. Yeah.
I think the reason I didn't like them as a kid is like I have very deep teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the, like, that type of like stuck in there. Consistency gets like stuck in my teeth.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And maybe.
But I just love the experience of making cookies, sugar cookies with the kids.
Yeah.
picking out which ones you're going to leave for Santa, which ones you're going to keep for yourself. Are you designing the cookies for yourself or for the way that other people in your family like them? You know, like I always, it warms my heart so much when my kids will be like, Daddy, I made this one for you. And they put a bunch of cinnamon imperials on there because they know that I like that. And that might not be one that they would want to eat, but like it just warms my heart to see them like thinking of others, especially at the holiday season. So for me, number one, sugar cookies with cinnamon imperials.
Do you like a thin sugar cookie or do you like it to be a little bit more robust, a little thicker?
I like, you know, probably about a half inch.
Okay. Thick. Yeah. So it gets a little bit of the softness
in the middle. Yeah.
Sometimes you get those sugar cookies that are a little bit
real thin.
Thinner and no, it's more like a wafer.
Yeah. Don't like that.
Make thick cookies. Yeah. I think that's really the takeaway from this count. Yeah. Always thick cookies, always thick peanut butter, thick Oreos, all the things thick. Anyway, we have reached the end of this countdown. Before I share my number one, did want to remind you guys, if you haven't already done so, please make sure you follow us on social media. We are at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, Threads. You're at Xmas Pod on the X. You can watch this episode and all of the others on youtube.com/countdownnetwork. And if you're loving what you're hearing, please make sure to rate and review, tell your friends, share it out on social media, and make sure to smash that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And if you want even more, we got a Patreon. You can join the Patreon, get bonus episodes, or just become a paid subscriber on Spotify or Apple, and boom. I think there's already 13 episodes waiting for you to start consuming, much like these desserts. All right, number one, this is coming full circle here. At the end of part two, I talked about coffee cake, right? Mm-hmm. And this thing that my mom had said to me recently about cinnamon makes memories. Yeah. Cinnamon is memories, and then I came up with cinnamon memories. So my number one, I'm going to go cinnamon rolls. You know, and every Christmas morning that I can remember from my childhood, even through like my 20s when I would come back home, you know, from wherever I was living, my mom would make this, I think it's Pillsbury. They have like a cinnamon roll kit, and she would do this like round sort of like ceramic thing that she would cook them in, or a pan. And you know, the icing's on the side and you warm it up in the microwave and you do the warm icing. And that was like always our Christmas breakfast. And I asked my mom, I was like, why did you do cinnamon rolls? And her reasoning was, one, obviously the cinnamon connection. But she says, I just thought it would be smarter than you kids just eating all the chocolate out of your stocking. So I wanted you to have some sort of like, you know, nutritional value of some sort. And I love that, you know, the tradition is carried over because my wife will make fresh, like she makes all the dough for the cinnamon rolls. And every year now, you know, whether it's just us at home or my folks come over or my siblings, we do a Christmas breakfast and cinnamon rolls are always a part of it. And it's so wild, like looking back on my life and thinking about how cinnamon has just been at the core of so much. And I don't know. I love cinnamon rolls, but you know, I've gone to like donut shops or whatever and had cinnamon rolls there, but nothing compares to that homemade, whether it's my mom doing it or now my wife doing it. It's just, I love those traditions, you know, from childhood.
Yeah. Lisa does cinnamon rolls too. And it was something that her family always did on Christmas morning. And so usually when we get up, we will walk out, we'll see what Santa brought.
Yeah.
Then the next thing before we even do stockings or anything is Lisa goes to put the cinnamon rolls in.
Okay.
So everybody knows, like, you see what you got. Now, chill. We got to get the cinnamon rolls in the oven. And again, it's not a thing that I go towards, but I definitely like it when I try it.
Yeah.
And it you're right. It totally has that kind of like, it's like a Carpenter's music album. That's what cinnamon rolls are.
Yeah. Cinnamon rolls are the Carpenter's
Christmas album of food.
Of the food world. Of the Christmas food world. I was trying to figure out how to get there. I agree 100%.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us for this episode of the Christmas Countdown Show. Thank you so much, as always, for checking us out. Please rate and review, follow, subscribe, tell your friends about the show. That was episode 10, so we're halfway through. Gosh. Episode 11 will be coming next week. Thank you for checking us out, and we're going to close it out how we always do, by saying, with complete full hearts.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays.
We will see you on the next one.
Bye-bye, everybody.
See ya. Have fun eating those desserts.